It's Monday, and that means it's time to take a look at the week ahead in regional news. WAMU's Ayan Sheikh joins us this week to give us a preview of some of the stories our reporters will be covering this week. Good morning, Ayan.
Good morning, Esther.
So President Joe Biden is expected to sign the historic $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill today. Do we know what this means for the D.C. region?
Well, you'd think that a bill that has more than 2,000 pages would have a specific answer to that question, but it's a lot more complicated than that, and there's a lot that needs to be worked out in terms of exactly how the money will be distributed. The Brookings Institution says federal agencies have to oversee the funding, and that includes administering new grants and designing new programs, and states and localities have to identify and execute projects on the ground. Generally speaking, a D.C.'s representative in Congress, Eleanor Holmes Norton, says that the city will receive more than $1 billion for roads and bridges and more than $1 billion to improve public transportation. Also, tens of thousands of D.C. residents can apply for affordable internet access, and there's $355 million to improve the water infrastructure and ensure residents have access to clean and safe drinking water. On the other hand, in Virginia, they're getting $7 billion, some of which will go towards fighting flooding in Alexandria. We saw that there were a lot of floodings this past year. Also, improvements to roads and public transportation and adding electric car charging stations. And then last but certainly not least, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan says that there's $6 billion in the bill for the state to improve transit systems, railways, clean water systems, roads, bridges, and tunnels. So, you know, going forward, all of these agencies will have to figure out how to spend this huge infusion of funds.
Definitely, and we will be keeping an eye on that. Also this week, the D.C. Council is holding a hearing on ranked choice voting. What is this, and why is D.C. considering it?
Yeah, you know, this method is gaining some traction throughout the country. We saw New York City became the largest jurisdiction to use ranked choice voting this past summer during their mayoral election. And so Councilmember Christina Henderson and six of her colleagues in the council introduced a bill that would bring ranked choice voting to D.C. And the way the system works is that it allows voters to rank candidates in order of preference. So if after the count, no candidate is won, and outright majority, the worst performing contender is dropped, and the votes are recalculated using voter second choices, and is so on and so forth until one candidate wins a majority of support. People who like the system say ranked choice voting helps do away with situations where a bunch of candidates split the vote and then the winner ends up having only like a small portion of overall support. And, you know, by the way, ranked choice voting isn't new to our region. The Virginia GOP party used the system during their statewide convention to pick their candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. So if the bill does pass in D.C., it could be implemented as early as 2024.
And there's also the matter of legalizing recreational marijuana sales in D.C. Once again, talk about that.
Yeah. So the council is holding a public hearing on Friday on whether the district should join the dozen or so states that allow recreational marijuana sales. Possession and use of small amounts of marijuana has been legal in D.C. since 2014, but this is about the sale of recreational marijuana. The proposed bill, which is coming from Council Chair Phil Mendelson, focuses on allowing people who are disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs to take part in what could be a lucrative new industry. It would also direct that 50% of tax revenue from marijuana sales would be invested in economic development, homeless prevention, support for returning citizens, like people coming back from prison, and legal assistance in areas where people are experiencing high poverty rates, unemployment, and gun violence.
And wasn't there something out of the council recently about businesses in the so-called gray market that would gift marijuana when a customer buys other merchandise as a way around that sale prohibition?
Yeah, you got that right, Esther. There was a proposal to increase enforcement and up the fines for those businesses, but the measure was removed just one day before the council voted on the bill. And by the way, this week's public hearing will also look at a separate measure from Mayor Muriel Bowser that would make a number of significant changes to the existing medical marijuana program. Those changes focus on equity by authorizing authorizing dispensaries to allow people to use marijuana on site, including in public housing. It would also allow returning citizens, again, people coming back from prison, to work in medical marijuana facilities. And it will let people with felony offenses own and operate medical dispensaries, cultivation, testing centers, and related businesses.
That's WAMU's Ayaan Shaikh joining us for the first time on our Look Ahead this morning. Ayaan, always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Esther.